Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is...
Harry Nemiroff.
So this weekend in movies, we're going to be talking about a smaller film coming out, Friends with Kids, and this is the synopsis from IMDb. Two best friends decide to have a child together while keeping their relationship platonic so they can avoid the tolls can take or romantic relationship. This is poorly written on IMDb. So Perry, what are your thoughts on Friends with Kids? I'm actually a huge fan of the filmmaker's first film that she wrote and starred in, Kissing Jessica Stein. So I was actually looking forward to seeing Friends with Kids. So what are your thoughts on this film?
Well, I approached this one comparing it to Bridesmaids because it has so much of the Bridesmaids cast in it. And while it's a very funny movie, it was a little more dramatic than I was anticipating, but I really enjoyed that because I think the drama really pays respect to the realism behind the story here. And, you know, having kids can be funny and relationship problems can be funny too, but at the same time, they're both very real situations. And this one pokes fun at both, but not in a disrespectful manner, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. I think overall, what I took away from it mostly was the main love story between Adam Scott and Jessica Westfield, their relationship and how they became best friends and decided to have a child, and then what led to them eventually maybe or maybe not getting together at the end. And I think that was done very well. I really like the fact that it doesn't go down the typical route of what you would think is going to happen in these sorts of movies, that it does take a lot of twists and turns, and maybe these two people won't get together, or maybe they will. And I like how the film doesn't really answer that for you. I mean, I'm not going to say how this movie ends, but it doesn't really end in the way that you would think most romantic comedies do. And I think it just ends in a certain kind of, like, maybe it depends on how you are, how you view these characters. It could either be hopeful or it could either be pessimistic, but I saw the ending to be rather hopeful.
Mm-hmm. I found that some of it, you know, caught me off guard with the twists and turns, but at the same time, the script in general, and this is fine, I don't mean this to put it down, but the script in general is pretty standard in terms of its formatting. Like when those little wrenches are thrown into their happy existence, you kind of know what they're going to be and know when they're coming, but enough is done with the dialogue and the characters feel original and real enough that it's pretty easy to gloss over that.
Yeah. I mean, I like when the main couple in this, when they have their child and then they start dating other people. I mean, I think usually in kind of typical romantic comedies, like Adam Scott starts going out with Megan Fox's character, and the way that situation could have been presented to Adam Scott's character's friends would be like, oh, she's a horrible person, that he could do better than this. But she comes off very likable, I thought. The same thing with Jennifer Westfield's character when she starts dating Ed Burns. It could have been another situation like that where when presented to the friends that he could be kind of a bad guy, but he comes off to be very charming. So you're not kind of rooting for this couple to ultimately get together. But what I found interesting is just watching how watching how these characters come together and how they relate to their other friends in the movie.
She does a pretty fantastic job of supporting so many characters, because Adam Scott and Jennifer Westfield are the two stars of this movie by far, but at the same time, you know, you've got six other supporting characters that are in the forefront enough to make them viable, except maybe the only two that I had a hard time with was Kristen Wiig and John Hamm. The two of them are a couple and they fight a lot and their marriage is failing because of it, and they go through some pretty intense stuff. And in order for that intense stuff to land and really make you feel for them, I feel like you needed to get to know those characters a little more. And that was lacking quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, when we first meet that couple, they're all over each other, but then the next time we see them, they kind of hate each other. And then ultimately there's that, the dinner party scene on New Year's when they go out to Vermont, I believe. I really like that scene, and I thought Adam Scott really did show his acting chops, because usually when we see Adam Scott in mostly on TV, he's really playing more of a comical type of character. But in that scene, I think he really shined in that scene, and I was like, whoa, this is kind of a side of Adam Scott we usually don't see.
That's a tough scene to watch, too, because, like, if you've ever been in a situation where you're with a group of friends and two of them just start fighting amidst the group and they're having their own little argument, you feel incredibly uncomfortable. You feel kind of uncomfortable watching this scene in that same kind of way.
Totally. I guess luckily for me, I've never been in a situation like that. If I'm in a group of friends and like a couple starts fighting, it's either I leave or they have a good sense to go off somewhere else and have their fight. But I can imagine how that could be very, very awkward. There are a lot of comparisons to Bridesmaids to this movie. I mean, to your point as well. I mean, a lot of people from Bridesmaids are in this movie, but I think these and I agree with you that these are kind of vastly different. This one is a little bit more dramatic than Bridesmaids. Not to say that Bridesmaids didn't have a drama element, but it seems more prevalent in Friends with Kids more so than in Bridesmaids, and there isn't really that, I guess, gross out type of humor in Friends with Kids.
This isn't really trying to be like Bridesmaids at all either. I feel like, if anything, this is trying to be a drama more than it is a comedy.
I think it's being sold as Bridesmaids too, which I feel is kind of unfair.
It is. Like, when I look at that poster, I think it should be the two of them on it and not the whole group. And every commercial that comes on, it's one of those, like, bam, 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 listing all the famous names. And, you know, when four out of the six names are the stars of one of the biggest movies of last year, that's what's going to happen. And I think that might affect how people feel about this when they go in. I mean, some people are definitely going to go into this expecting, you know, gross out humor and like a laugh out loud experience the whole way through. And that's definitely not this. But in this film's case, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And on the movie poster, right there in the middle of the posters, Kristen Wiig and John Hamm. So it seems like they might be the main couple in this whole movie, when in fact the main couple is off to the side on the poster.
Like, the main character is shoved in the corner. The main person responsible for the large majority of this movie is shoved in a corner.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny in the way they're marketing this movie. Maybe people are going to sue after they watch this movie, thinking that this isn't what they signed up for when they bought a movie ticket, that this wasn't Bridesmaids 2.
She's pretty great, though. She really deserves to be front and center because, you know, she just delivers a pitch-perfect performance in this. Very likable character. And then on top of that, you know, she wrote the script, which is incredibly solid and tight, and the dialogue flows so naturally, and it's so – the film has a great pace to it, and the jokes, a lot of the jokes are just so well-timed, and that's what makes things so funny. And then just in terms of directing, too, you know, she doesn't do anything stellar, but she does what the material calls for, which is, you know, typical, I guess, comedy, dramedy-type shooting, which is pretty simple camera work, something that lets the performances take hold, and that benefits it.
Yeah, totally. And I'm actually a big fan of her work, like just writing it, just on the writing aspect of it. It makes me think, like, it seems like she comes out with a movie like every 5 years, a movie that she's written. And it seems like I would really just like to see her work more as a writer and an actress in movies. But really, I guess she doesn't have that kind of name recognition, or people would just associate her with being John Hamm's girlfriend or something like that. But I was actually really impressed with the way this movie was written and the way it was structured. And I really wasn't expecting to be that impressed when I went in to watch this movie, but I was. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I took away from Friends with Kids.
Yeah, that's what bothers me about the poster more than anything is, you know, maybe she could deliver a couple more movies more regularly if they just let her have the spotlight.
Let's see. Another movie that's coming out this Is Silent House coming out this Friday?
Yes, it is.
Silent House. I haven't seen it, but Perry, could you tell us what you thought of this movie?
Well, I'm a sucker for the horror genre in general, and I don't think we've had a horror movie since The Woman in Black, which is about a month ago now. So I was thrilled to be going to this, and I was thrilled throughout the large majority of the movie. The big thing with this one is that it takes place in real time and appears to have been shot in a single take. I don't think that's the case. I think that there's some editing tricks in there that make it appear that way. But the technique generally works. It makes it a little more frightening than it would have been. And it makes you feel a little claustrophobic. But at the same time, there's some downsides. Like, you know, Elizabeth Olsen will turn a corner and you'll see her looking around another corner. But you want to see what she's looking at, which takes away from some moments. But otherwise, it's pretty effective. It lost me a little towards the tail end because what ends up happening, what ends up causing all of the horror that's going on in this house, I didn't find to be as scary as what I thought it might originally be. But still, I mean, you know, it's 88 minutes and I would say 80 minutes of it absolutely thrilled me. She's fantastic. I mean, we all know she was great in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, but that was just one movie. Once you have your sophomore feature film and it's this good, you know, she's really solid. She's going to have a lot to offer.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of, now that you're talking about it, I kind of regret not going to the screening of this movie. I didn't know this movie was all going to be one shot, and that just seems interesting to me right there. And I feel if I was watching this movie, I would try to find the edits somewhere, because I'm sure that's the case in any movie that has one long shot in it. I always think that unless it's really well choreographed, and they do it over and over again, but I'm always thinking there's a cut here somewhere and they're just hiding it very well. I kind of wish I would have wanted to see this movie.
Yeah, I was doing that for probably about 15, 20 minutes before all the crazy horror stuff happens. I was looking out for it, and I think I caught a few spots where it could have happened, but they really do a pretty good job of making it appear to be one take.
And I was a huge fan of Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, and especially the performance from Elizabeth Olsen. And I agree with you. I haven't seen Silent House, but I agree with you that she's going to have a great career as an actress just based on that one role. And I guess from what I'm hearing about her performance in Silent House, then, you know, it's true. She's going to have a wonderful career. Yeah, it seems like a lot of genre coming out this weekend with John Carter and Silent House. John Carter being more of the sci-fi fantasy genre and Silent House being horror, and with John Carter, it's definitely geared towards sci-fi genre fans. I mean, it's hard, it's really, really hard sci-fi. Some comparisons to this past summer's Green Lantern or Cowboys and Aliens with John Carter, but I think John Carter's is definitely a little bit better than both of those movies, but at the same time, it still has those problems that it would rather spend its time with exposition rather than character development, and it would rather it would rather give you exposition than giving you character moments like comedy and give you reason why this person is doing this thing. And I think it's sad to say, like, sci-fi does better on TV more so than in movies, because in TV you can actually take your time with exposition. It doesn't have to feel like it's all crammed in there. And at the same time show character moments. But in movies, they have to drive the plot more so than anything else. And John Carter is well over 2 hours long. And I think that makes it really problematic that it's over 2 hours long and it seems like it's exposition dump, like every 10 minutes in this movie.
Well, that's also the case when you've got a sci-fi movie like that based on pretty extensive source material. Like, I'm trying to think of a sci-fi movie that doesn't have something it's coming from. Like, I mean, Cowboys and Aliens, you could really, that felt pretty dumbed down and not too expositional for me.
Yeah, and I think with the source material of John Carter, I mean, it it's from a book that's 100 years old this year, and this is the first time it's being made into a movie. A lot of modern sci-fi is based on the tales of John Carter, whether it be Star Wars, Avatar, or Dune. And there's a lot of good comparisons with David Lynch's 1984 film Dune to John Carter. And I really think that basically the same type of movie with the same type of problems. It's kind of an unfilmable book, and having an opportunity, or like Watchmen. I think Watchmen is another good example of the failings of what transferring this source material to a movie is a delicate thing. And unfortunately, John Carter isn't very good. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not bad and it's not good. It's just painfully mediocre. And I really wish there was more to it than that. I guess, I'm recommending Friends with Kids, and I'm kind of recommending John Carter for, If you're a nine-year-old boy, 9 to 12 years old, you'd love this movie. And if you love hard sci-fi, I would definitely say check out John Carter. Perry, are you recommending Friends with Kids and Silent House?
Yeah, I'm gonna recommend both, depending on your taste in movies.
All right, so with that, let's close out this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You can find me at Shockey.com, CinemaBlend.com, Movies.com, and of course on Twitter. My handle is at PNemiroff, PNemiroff.
And you can follow me on Twitter, Twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shockey.com, AutorCast.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing 21 Jump Street. I'm looking forward to this one. I've heard nothing but good things with 21 Jump Street. And perhaps Casa de Mi Padre, possibly. But most likely just 21 Jump Street. So closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.